Well, that's a good reminder for us today. Hope you're enjoying your first 3 weeks of the new year. Hope it's going well. A little chilly. Warmer days ahead. Looking forward to that. Hey, my name is Mike. If we haven't had a chance to meet, I'm filling in for Adam today. Adam and the team, like James mentioned a while ago, they are in South Asia. They got there earlier this past week, been very busy meeting with pastors and teachers and leaders. They've been at the Bible College, seeing some of the updates and the new buildings. Lots of preaching happening, lots of teaching happening. Evangelism class is underway. He's meeting lots of people and partner and leaders. So you be praying for them as they press on this week in South Asia. Hey, when I first got started in ministry, I was a youth pastor. I was a youth pastor for about 8 years, and I really enjoyed ministering with the kids, getting to know them, getting to know their families, trying to equip and resource them to make a difference in their community and on their campus. But in the midst of all that, man, I really liked the games. I did. I liked the games. And I liked the games that involve food, you know? Like the blender game. It's classic. You know, you take a pig's foot, you put it in. Maybe a little dash of hot sauce, some head cheese, put that all in there, mix that up. And then it really comes down to what student can eat or drink the most of that. That's an exciting game. You know, early on I did the raw egg eating contest. I don't know why. But the winner had 11 eggs. The next morning I got a call from his mom. And she said, "Hey, Mike, hey, just want to let you know that my son spent a pretty good amount of time in the bathroom last night. So I really don't know if the raw egg eating contest is really, you know, really a good game." And I thought to myself, I didn't say it out loud, but I said, you know, well, Rocky Balboa didn't have any problem with raw eggs. So apparently your son won't be the boxing heavyweight champion of the world. So it's good to know. Good to know. So, hey, I didn't always make the best choices. I didn't get out of the gate, maybe good on games. But I needed to track some people down that could speak into my life, that could give me input into my life, to give me encouragement and wisdom and guidance. I needed some mentors to help me along. I was fortunate. I had a couple guys as I got started. The first guy, Ken Mackin, he was my first pastor. He taught me about the logistics of ministry, you know, how to organize a student ministry worship night, the importance of small groups and doing ministry in the community. He helped me as I got started with weddings and funerals. He gave me a part to play. Maybe I would read a passage, or I would pray a prayer, but he involved me. Then later I did those on my own. You know, baptisms and preaching and all those things, he would give me inputs. He would give me suggestions. He would speak into my life. I really appreciate Ken for all the ways he helped me at the beginning. Another gentleman about that same time in my life, Joey Butler. Joey lived in a close by town, Blue Springs, Missouri. And Joey taught me about the heart of ministry. Joey really loved people, and he wanted people to know Jesus, to be in relationship with Jesus. He didn't want them just to know about him. Man, he wanted there to be an intimate relationship with them and Jesus, and he wanted them to live their life in such a way that it just glorified God, and he was passionate about that. Man, I really appreciate Joey Butler speaking into my life about those important aspects of ministry. I needed those guys. I needed those guys to give me wisdom and encouragement and some correction. I needed their availability. I needed them to, I had questions, and they answered those things. They helped me get out of the gate. I had a call on my life for ministry, and they helped me live out that call. Man, I appreciate them. Let me tell you today that we all have a call on our lives. All of us in this room have a call on their life. We're called to know and follow Jesus, to have a relationship with him. And we all in this room have a ministry. We all have a mission field. God desires us to minister to our circles of influence. You know, my circle of influence is different than your circle of influence, different than your circle of influence, different than your circle of influence. We need all of us have a ministry and a mission. God desires, through the power of the Holy Spirit, for us to help each other as we walk along with Christ. God desires us to willing to ask for help and reach out to folks who can give us wisdom and guidance, because we're all trying to grow, but we got to do it together, and we can help each other. You know, a question we may have is, well, how can we do that? Can God really use me? Can he really use you? Can he use us to help people along the way? Am I willing to seek out wisdom and instruction and encouragement from other people to follow God's lead in all the areas of my life? Am I willing to do those things? Well, this morning I want us to look at a couple different snapshots from the life of Peter and how Jesus developed him to be a shepherd, a caregiver, a servant, a leader, a follower of Jesus. And I think it's good that we say the word developed, because when I think about Peter, I think about a guy that had a lot of rough edges. Hopefully that gives you encouragement today. It does me, that Peter didn't have it all together. But boy, God sure did do a lot of good work through him. So our first snapshot today is going to be Matthew chapter 4. We're going to focus on 19, but we're going to read 18, 19, and 20 together. So if you want to follow along in your word, in your copy of the word, that would be great. Verse 18 of Matthew chapter 4. And while walking by the Sea of Galilee, Jesus saw two brothers, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." And immediately they left their nets and they followed him. You know, there's a lot of titles that you could give Jesus. He is Savior, he is King, he is Lord. But Jesus is a great developer of people. He is. Jesus had a relationship with Peter, and relationship is key. Many, many good things happen in the context of relationship. You know, I've always found Peter to be kind of an interesting guy. You know, he's a fisherman, hardworking, seemingly regular guy, but he was one of the first guys Jesus called to follow him, to be his disciple. Later on, he became the spokesman of the 12 disciples. He is an apostle. He is a leader of the early church. He was one of the first Christian missionaries to the Gentiles. He was a Christian missionary to the Jews. And he was a Christian martyr in Rome. Very passionate man. He's a man of action. But you know, sometimes his heart got in front of his head. You know, we see Peter now, I know I do, as a hero of the faith. But Peter didn't get it all right. Peter isn't a model, really, of somebody who had it all together. But in spite of all that, Jesus called Peter to follow, to be in relationship with him. Jesus transformed his life. See, Jesus led Peter, and at the same time, he walked alongside of Peter to model what it really was to live and to die for the gospel. You know, we look at verse 19 again, Matthew 4:19, and Jesus has really given Peter a vision for his life and his purpose. You know, follow me, Jesus leads. I will make you, he will transform and change your life. Fishers of men, he gives us a mission and a purpose. And this morning, you may be a middle school or high school student, and God wants to use you to impact your friends in your classroom and your campus for the gospel. He does. You may be a college student. You may be a young professional. You may be newly married. Maybe you're a new parent. You may be single. You may be single again. You may be an empty nester. You may be a seasoned senior. All these seasons of life, all these stages of life, through the big decisions, all the two steps forward, all the one step back, through all the questions and the confusion, and through all the highs and the lows, Jesus wants a relationship with you, and he wants to transform your life. He wants to lead you to a mission of life that glorifies God and is ultimately for our good. But we see a second snapshot today. We're going to look at Matthew 14, 28 to 33. And we're going to see in this second snapshot that Jesus did not only call Peter to be in relationship and to follow, but in this second snapshot, we see that Jesus guided Peter. He guided Peter. So Matthew 14, the section we're looking at, 28 to 33, this is when Peter walks on the water. So leading up to that, the feeding of the 5,000 had just taken place. The disciples were getting into a boat. They were going to go over to the other side of the sea. Jesus hung back for a little bit. He catches up with them later on that night, in the middle of the night. He is walking across the waves, walking across the water. The disciples see him. Again, it's the middle of the night. And of course, they're startled and they're terrified. And he says, "Take heart. Don't be afraid." I don't know if that would soothe me or not in that moment. That'd be kind of a weird experience. That'd be a weird experience. But in that moment, we pick it up then on verse 28. And Peter answered him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." And he said, Jesus said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat and he walked on the water and he came to Jesus. But when he saw the wind and he was afraid and beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." And Jesus immediately reached out his hand and he took hold of him, saying to him, "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?" When they got into the boat, the wind ceased, and those in the boat worshiped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." You know, Jesus was all about on-the-job training, and boy, do we see an example of that right here. He called Peter to come out of the boat. Peter got out of the boat. He did walk on water for a little while, but his faith was weak. His faith needed to grow. You know, people may say about Peter that he was kind of brash and kind of impetuous. Maybe he kind of bumbled around a little bit. Maybe he had some over-passionate missteps. But nobody can deny at the end of the day, Peter loved Jesus. And he demonstrated a growing trust and a courage that has to be commended. He walked on water. I'm thinking to myself, if I'm Jesus and I'm approaching this boat and these disciples and I see Peter kind of going over the edge and he's on the water, I'd be like Jesus going, "Whoa, look at this guy." What an interesting experience that would have been. See, in the end, this is another example of Peter's weakness and Jesus' strength that brings us to that point of declaration, surely this is the Son of God. Hey, you know, that's our lives. We get into a point of weakness, and we see Jesus' strength in the moment, and it brings us to that point of declaration, surely this is the Son of God. All the ups and downs, the highs and lows, they always have purpose. You know, Jesus came to seek, and he came to save the lost. He lived the perfect, sinless life. He came down to us. He died to pay the debt of our sin on the cross. He was buried. 3 days later, he rose up from the grave and he was resurrected. And he demonstrated that I have more power than sin. I have more power than death. And he's got more power than my sin, more power than your sin, and all the ways that we've tried to fix it. He's more powerful than that. He wants to transform us. All of us in every way, every area of our life. Again, it's always for our good and it's for his glory. And that's the good news today, that there is hope. We can be forgiven. Our life can change. There is transformation. We can be made right with God. That's good news. If you haven't began that relationship with the Lord, turn to him. Repent, begin to follow him today. But that good news also impacts all the other areas of our life, our relationships, our family, our friends, our budgets, our plans, our problems. Jesus in his word has something to say about all those areas in life, and he wants us to trust him. But we see a third snapshot. We look at John 21. We're going to look at John 21, 15 and 16 and 17 to start with. See, that Jesus had called Peter to follow, but he called him to a relationship. He guided Peter, some on-the-job training. And we see that Jesus cared about Peter. Again, John 21, 15, 16, and 17. Now, this is the last chapter in the Gospel of John. There's a lot of stuff that happened really in a short period of time leading up to this chapter. A lot had changed. Jesus and his disciples, not too long ago, they had shared a final meal together. And at that time, Jesus demonstrated the depth of what it meant to serve each other, the washing of the feet. It was a little bit of a foreshadowing as well to come. He prayed for them. Jesus was then betrayed by Judas. He was arrested. There was a mock trial. In the midst of all that, Peter denied Jesus three times before Jesus was crucified. But he was crucified, he was buried, he was resurrected, and he began to appear to some of his disciples. And that's where we pick it up then, John 21, verse 15. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" And he said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you," he said. And Jesus said, "Feed my lambs." Jesus said to him a second time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" And he said, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Tend my sheep." And he said to him a third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" And Peter was just grieved because he said to him a third time, "Do you love me?" And he said, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." And Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep." There's a gentleman who writes books. His name is Bruce Barton. He had this comment to say about those verses. He said, "After the meal, Jesus and Peter had a talk. And during their conversation, Jesus led Peter through an experience that would remove the cloud of guilt that came from Peter's denial. Jesus conveyed both forgiveness and usefulness to this disciple who must have concluded he was beyond being useful to Jesus." You ever felt that way? You're beyond being useful. Let me tell you today, that's not true. There's a lot that can be said about these verses in this passage, but what we want to take away today is that Jesus cared about Peter. Jesus restored, he reinstated Peter after his failure. He gave Peter encouragement. It was tough and it was tender, but it was all needed to prepare him for the mission that Jesus had for him in his life. You know, today, if you failed Jesus, if you've gotten off track for what Jesus wants in your life, just know today that he cares about you. Redemption is possible today. You know, today, God may want to use you to help somebody know in their heart and in their head that redemption is available to them through Jesus. God may want to use you to do that. We see a fourth snapshot. We're going to press on, really, in John 21. We're going to catch back 17 one more time, so it'll be 17, 18, and 19 in John 21. And what we're going to see is Jesus has called Peter, he's guided Peter, he cares about Peter, and now we're going to see that he is commissioning Peter. So we're going to reread verse 17 of John 21 and then go on to 18 and 19. He said to him a third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" And Peter was grieved because he said the third time, "Do you love me?" He said, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." And Jesus said, "Then feed my sheep." Jesus presses on. He says, "Truly I say to you, when you were young, you used to dress yourself and walk wherever you wanted. But when you're old, you'll stretch out your hands and another will dress you and carry you where you don't want to go." This he said to show what kind of death was to glorify God. And after saying this, he reminded him one more time, "Follow me, follow me." See, Jesus asked Peter to take specific action. He wanted to feed and take care of my sheep. You know, leadership in ministry is far more than just being a pastor. It's all of us. All of us have the opportunity to lead in ministry because we all have circles of influence. We've all been called to a mission. And that requires a servant's heart. That requires that we need to be willing to help and develop people. It takes conviction and it takes compassion. And Jesus is calling us to that today. Peter lived out this commission. He was a dedicated shepherd of the flock. And we think about Jesus' reinstatement of Peter here in John 21. It was really another way of Jesus reinstating, and it's a statement of redemption, but it's also a statement of confidence, knowing that Peter would be a leader, a significant figure in the early church. Luke tells us a little bit about all the different roles that Peter played, because Luke wrote the book of Acts, and Luke catalogs some of the different ways that Peter was utilized. We see in the book of Acts that Peter was a bold proclaimer of the gospel. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, God worked miracles through the life of Peter. He was an authoritative figure in the early church, and as we mentioned previously, he was the first missionary to the Gentiles. He was a missionary to the Jews outside of Jerusalem. God used him in mighty, mighty ways. Somebody that may have thought he was no longer useful to the Lord. And the passage ends with Jesus telling and reminding Peter, because this is really important, follow me. You know, leading, helping people develop always has a cost. It can cost you time. It can cost you energy. It may even cost you some money, but it's always worth it as we have the opportunity to pass on experience and wisdom and guidance and direction for people who are trying to follow the Lord in all the areas of their life. Helping people is worth it. But being willing to ask for help is also worth it. And it may require humility. That we want to reach out to somebody and go, hey, it seems like you know a lot about this. You're doing well in this. You've got to handle it. Can you help me? Can you guide me? Can you direct me there? It may take sacrifice, but it's going to lead to maturity, a broader perspective, and growth. Today, as we've looked at these various snapshots, we see, you know, Jesus called Peter and follow me, but it was relationship, and he guided Peter. He cared about Peter, and he commissioned Peter, giving him a vision for what his life could be and his ministry could be. And that's kind of our main principle today, is that Jesus models how we can help each other follow him and live to glorify God. We can all be a part of this mission. See, people need relationships. We need wisdom and care. We need hope for the future. We need that. I need that. And true wisdom begins with a relationship with God. It does. Following what God has to say about life, because God knows how life works best. Fortunately, he wrote it down for us. There's principles for living right here in his word. And now we've been called, we have the opportunity to help other people follow Jesus and live lives that glorify him. Today we have the opportunity to reach out for help, to live a life that glorifies God in all the areas of our life. You know, 2 weeks ago, Adam started this series. We're really concluding it today about First Baptist Church, FBC. What's the vision for the next 5 years? And a couple weeks ago, Adam talked to us about local ministry and mission. And then last week, he talked about equipping for cultural engagement. And today, we're talking about principles or some guiding elements for mentoring. You know, around this room today is a lot of experience. You've walked with the Lord for a long time and in various ups and downs, lots of experience. In this room today, there are a lot of questions that says, man, I desire very much to follow the Lord, to glorify him in all the areas of my life. Would you be willing to help me? A lot of questions, a lot of guidance there. How do we follow Jesus and glorify him in all the areas? You know, I mentioned earlier, you know, mentoring. Mentoring is discipleship. It's just maybe a little bit more focused on a particular stage in life, season in life, opportunity, challenge, concern. We are mentoring people through various aspects of life, but it is discipleship in the end. Maybe we have opportunities come our way. We need some help. We have a challenge come our way. We need somebody to guide us. Maybe, again, I'm a high school student. I'm a college student. It's my first job. It's my first budget. I'm single. I'm single again. I plan to be married. Or, help, I'm married. Maybe we're navigating parenting. We're empty nesting like I am. We're retiring. Mentoring is discipleship. It's just targeted. You know, we're in the early stages right now. Again, this is something that we have, it's a strategic plan. We want this for our church to be a church that provides and offers mentoring. We're in the early stages of that. We're putting up some framework for that. But it's not lost on me that mentoring has been happening at First Baptist Church for years, for years. There's been all kinds of relationships between people where they've gotten together for coffee, they've sat down for a meal, they've met in somebody's home, and there's been spiritual wisdom that's been passed. They've turned to the Bible for guidance. What does God have to say about that area of your life? That's been happening for years here at First Baptist. Again, we just want to provide some easy means of connection for people who are looking for a mentor and people who want to be a mentor. We're looking out to people who have been there and done that, people that have perspective on how do we do this well. So we've assembled 10 people that have given input into this. Billy and Regina Russell, Don Lene Hodson, Mike and Shandi Knight, Julie Duvall, Ben Salmon, Abby Rhodes, Jed Bond, all these folks are already investing in people. How do we do it well? We don't want to make it a program. We just want to find how do we connect people who are looking to grow. You know, our college and singles ministry also very important to us here. You know, today, Michael Green is preaching his last message at his church in Arizona today. He may be doing it right now. Tomorrow, he's going to hop in a moving truck, and he's going to begin to move this way. If you don't remember Michael Green, we voted on him to be our college pastor several weeks ago, and now he is almost here. He'll be in town on Thursday. He'll be on campus next Sunday. And he'll be doing his first collective on the 31st. You can be praying for Michael Green as he begins to make his way here, our college pastor. Late in the spring, we were so glad to have Ian and Jenny Nix help us get a singles group off the ground. We really appreciate them, and they have invested in people. But over time, you know, with timing and schedules, it just really wasn't going to work out for this moment. So they have stepped back, and we have invited Brandon and Jen Weesey to step into that role and provide opportunity for singles and in a singles group. It's going to meet on Tuesdays at 6 o'clock at their home. So more to come. That's going to be off the ground here pretty soon. But we appreciate Brandon and Jen Weesey being available for that. You know, early in our marriage, when we began to have kids, at some point in there we said, hey, we want to do a good job. How do we do this thing? And we had great parents on both sides. Shawnee's parents were great. My parents were great. They helped us. They gave us great advice on raising our family, raising our kids. Wonderful. But we came up with, we saw another couple at our church, Kent and Mary Warner, who seemed like they were just really raising their kids well, godly kids. They were further along than us. Their kids were in high school and middle school, and seemingly they were just doing well in spite of the youth pastor there, which was me. You know, I was glad at that time I was past the raw egg games and I was doing more home run derby in the worship center, you know, using Nerf balls, of course. But we needed wisdom from them. We needed guidance from them. We just wanted to take a couple pages out of their playbook to say, hey, we see what you're doing. We see that God's in it. We want that too. Would you be willing to spend some time? And we did. They helped us immensely. They were available to us. They answered our questions. We knew they prayed for us. Super helpful. Super helpful time. Hey, family, we can do that. We can help each other. We can be there for each other. We can reach out to folks. We can be willing to help folks. We can do that. And Jesus modeled it for us. Jesus modeled how we can help each other follow him and glorify God. So as we come to a conclusion today, do you need somebody to talk to? Again, we're on the beginning stages. We're putting it together. But just know we want to be there for each other. We're growing together. Maybe today as we conclude and we have a time for a response, you just say, hey, Mike, I got some things I'm trying to work out in my life. And would you pray for me? I sure would. Mike, I've got this big opportunity. It's going to be awesome. It's going to be a big step. Would you pray for me? Of course I would. But I want to encourage you today, live a life that glorifies God in all of the areas. Be thinking about what does the Bible have to say about life, and God's going to lead us and he's going to guide us. Let's pray together. God, we just thank you so much. You are a wonderful, fantastic God. We know you love us. You've demonstrated that in so many ways. Thank you, Lord, for coming down to this world and giving us hope, forgiving us of our sin, transforming our life, giving us a mission and a vision. But God, thank you for caring for us the way you have and helping us know we're not alone. We're in this together. We can help each other. And God, sometimes it's just nice to know somebody's walking alongside of you. So God, help us today to listen to you and your spirit about how we can be involved. And God, we appreciate it. In Jesus' name, amen.